Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no business like show business.
Oh, and away we go.
Hello again, and welcome to the Green Room. Have a seat. And if it's your first time here, get ready to have some conversations about the art and business of community theater. We're the Groupies, and we get some of our best ideas here and share information what we think you can use to make your community theater group the best it can be. Sometimes we, of course, slip into other topics, but you understand how Green Room conversations go. I'm David Ward, the el de facto ringmaster of our little band, and looking around the Green Room today, I see...
Robert Yeoman.
Carol Slifka.
And Kathleen McBee.
And we have, I think, an exciting show for you today. We're going to talk about something that everybody loves to talk about on the business side.
I'm all a Twitter.
All a Twitter. We're going to talk about fundraising and development.
Yay.
Another interview with Betsy Willis,
ka-ching,
who, in addition to being an adjudicator extraordinaire, is also a whiz at fundraising and development. She's done it for several organizations over the years, and I have a nice interview with her that we'll be discussing. So we'll get right into it, but I just had a couple quick announcements, something to kind of let people know, especially the people, in this case, in Michigan. The playwriting contest is coming up that the Community Theater Association of Michigan hosts. The deadline, if you have new plays, is Memorial Day, May 25th, 2026. They actually have two play contests going on at the same time. One is a 10-minute play contest with the theme of winning and losing, not to be confused with one of our favorite plays, Winners and Losers, by that Irish playwright and who we kind of avoid. Lovers, Part 2, or whatever it was. and then the regular full-length plays. Full-length plays do not fall under any suggestion topics. You know, so they're just whatever you may have. But they should be a normal evening's entertainment, 90-plus minutes. Short play should not be any longer than 10 minutes. Full-length play can be any number of characters, sets, and everything, but the shorter play, they do have some restrictions on that, single location, things like that. So you'll want to go to ctam.online for some information on the playwriting contest. As I said, the deadline is May 25th, 2026. The only caveat for this is you must be a Michigan resident, so that's something that is for Michigan playwrights. And you need to also hook up with your local affiliated CTAM group, because they'll have to write a letter saying, yep, we know this person is putting in the contest. We have people who are doing that with Mineral Community Players, in fact, right now. The nice thing about this is it's also an opportunity for your group to get associated with a playwright who may sometimes have a play that you would like to do yourself. So I don't think I really have anything else that's exciting that's happened since our last episode, which we recorded about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
but we do want to get into this fundraising development. So once again, without further ado, here's my interview about a month ago with Betsy Willis on fundraising and development. And here I am talking with Betsy Willis concerning development. So I think my first question, Betsy, is what's the difference between fundraising and development?
Oh, I planted that question in your little brain, didn't I? It's the other way around. Fundraising is part of development. Development people do fundraising in a lot of different ways. The least popular thing we like to do are fundraisers, where you do an activity that people come to and they either pay a high price ticket or they buy something at an auction or they give a donation while they're there. That's the only part of them I really like. But
talking about things like gift baskets or doing special
raffles,
parties,
galas, all that stuff. They're a lot of work, and you generally speaking, it's a great communication tool and it's a great friend builder, but generally speaking, you put a lot of time and effort into it for a very little return. So if you actually clock the number of hours that volunteers and staff spent planning it, it would probably be a negative gain.
And now you, of course, have been development officer for, well, among us other groups, the Old Town Playhouse.
Yes.
Up in Traverse City, which is one of the largest community theaters in the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also done work with other organizations as well. Do you find that
those talents of development or skills, are they the same no matter what type or size of organization you're in, or is there something particular to community theater that can be very helpful?
Well, I think in order to raise funds, to be successful at fundraising for community theaters...
Yeah, I know I've kind of mixed the topic there.
That's okay. You have to, I believe, you have to have some kind of connection to it, some kind of passion for it, because it's a very difficult idea to raise money for. People love to give money to homeless people and puppies and babies who have had a birth defect, or food for people, backpacks for kids. All those things have that emotional charge in them, and you feel instantly good because you did it. The arts and cultural programs are much harder in some ways, like the environmental programs are hard also, because people don't have that immediate emotional draw to it, and therefore they think, oh, it's just, you know, it's frivolous, or it's an activity we don't have to have. It's, you know, it's not like we're saving lives. I will contradict that strongly. Theater does save lives all the time. I've seen it happen. So, and it's also education, and that's, I think that's a lot of times difficult for people involved in theater to understand how much of what we do is education. And that does appeal to people, and that's why youth programs are so successful, is because those are based on education, and the parents can see the education in it, where it's just as much of an educational value for adults as it is for kids.
Yes, and that's something I agree with you. It seems interesting. People are always looking for something for the kids, but they forget that we as adults still need educating.
Right. Whenever I run into someone who says, oh, I don't need to learn anything more, I'm an adult, I'm like, I'm checking them off my list. Yeah. Because if I don't learn something new every day, I'm declining.
Right.
And so I look forward to that. And I think any theater can benefit from that. I'm a huge proponent for adjudication of theaters, and that's because they get feedback. And I don't care whether you are a Broadway theater, or you're the Kalamazoo Civic, or you're the Monroe Community Players or Tawas Bay Players, and how good your process is and your product is, you can still learn something. I never listen to an adjudication of a play that I don't go, oh, I could have done that. That would have been great.
Yep.
So I feel like there's always that education part of it.
And we're going to talk about adjudication in our next interview. So
that's a little plug.
But it's a good plug. Get people excited about it. So putting aside the benefits of the community theater,
right,
or theater in general even. So if we're looking to fundraise, mm-hmm, which is different than development, mm-hmm, which I'll ask you to go into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Are there things that you think work especially well for fundraising for community theaters in your experience? For example, our group, the Monroe Community Players, are now doing comedy nights where we're bringing in stand-up comedians. It's theater adjacent, but it's not what we do for the main thing, and it's certainly a different branding situation, but we try to specify that this is a fundraiser.
So we are very, that's one thing that we're fortunate in with live theater organizations, that we have a product all the time. We can, especially if we do music, you can do a gala. So the Old Town Playhouse, for instance, does an incredibly successful gala every year where they cast and rehearse a group of singers and dancers of all ages and all abilities to get up and entertain the audience. And so not only are people coming to have dinner and or cocktails and or hors d'oeuvres or whatever, they're getting entertained in the process. We're using what we do to help sell our product.
Yeah.
And we have that ability where most other people don't. You can do a comedy night. You can do an improv. You can do something that reaches to their inner core. And if you can then, that's my job as a development person, is to find the emotional story that goes with that.
Gotcha.
And at some point in the evening, interview bring one of those people up onto the stage and say, so I know you have an interesting story to tell. Tell it. And of course, you've always gotten permission in advance. But when they can tie that emotional. Now I'm connected to that person. I've just seen their talent and their performance. And now I know that before they got involved in community theater, for instance, they were considering suicide because they couldn't find a place where they belonged. And community theater became the place where I belonged. That has impact. So there's a part of me that feels bad about that from time to time as a person, that I'm like, I'm using that. But I have to always think about the fact that I'm not using it for bad. I'm using it for good. And yes, I'm capitalizing on it, but I always make sure the person I'm talking to understands what I'm doing before if I ask if I can have a quote or I can use something.
So on the surface, it's a fundraiser.
Yes.
Because you're charging $50, $7,500 a ticket or whatever.
Yes.
Come in and have an evening of hors d'oeuvres and some entertainment, but you're also using the development because now you're getting the story of theater out.
That's right.
And what's important about
it.
And I presume making some contacts with people that we already know support the theater because they bought a ticket to be there.
And that's the other part of development. That's the part of the fundraising that I do appreciate. It's all about forming those relationships, talking to someone once, twice, three times, getting an understanding of what their interests are, and going back and talking to them about a specific need that will be attractive to them, and building that trust with them that they can now support us financially and they understand why they're doing it. And using those stories to tell and making a connection with the community, whether it's a business sponsor or whether it's an individual donor. Those are the most valuable ways to get money.
So the strategy, if I'm hearing correctly, is it's not to say, hey, Mr. Business Owner, you should support theater because we're going to put your ad in front of 1,000 people
That's
every
right.
week. It's about saying you should support theater because here's how we support your you want to support the community, and here's how we support the community too.
So, yes, it is that. And there's the best case scenario. You go to, I'm going to use MSU, FCU, Michigan State's Federal Credit Union. Mm-hmm. You go to them once and say, could you sponsor this show? And they say, oh, sure, we're happy to help the community. And when I was doing development for theater, I always included tickets in their parcel. And so they're supporting it because they support community. Then they come to the show and they see what's going on. And the greatest compliment we can get is for them to come up to me after a show and say, or to anyone in the show and say, oh my gosh, I just came because we had sponsor tickets, but I'll be back. And now I see the value this has in our community. Next year, we'd like to up our level to X amount. And so whoever it is, from the smallest little mom and pop shop to an MSU, FCU, you want to find that connection that makes them go, I definitely want to come back at a larger gift amount. Or next year when you come, it won't be, oh, because I have to do this. It'll be, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for you to come in.
Yeah. And I presume then the ask increases as well.
Sometimes, it does as it can.
You just have to feel that out.
Yeah. We have a great person in Traverse City, for instance, who started out sponsoring youth shows because his son was in our young company. And then he saw the value that it gave. He owns an insurance business, if I didn't already say that. Then his son got older and started directing shows. So then he started sponsoring shows that his son was directing or in or whatever. Now he's sponsoring the whole season because his son is a full-grown adult. He's seen the benefits that his child, who was adopted from Romania, you know, he came to this country really in need of connection, what that did for him his whole life. And now he sees, I want to be able to give that value to other people in this community.
Wonderful. And I'm presuming for a group like Old Town, sponsoring a season, that's not a small investment.
No, it's not.
You know, we're probably talking several thousand dollars at
yes.
a minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, or at least it was when I was there. And
yes.
Some of that's changed now, I know. But I would imagine that it's a five-figure donation.
Yeah, easily. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
for the right reasons.
So it's making it's making those connections and making sure that people understand them. And then once they see the product and what's really happening, they'll want to give.
Right. And then maintaining them, making sure that you're still meeting their needs.
Yeah.
there's also a very delicate line between meeting their needs and them thinking they're going to get something they're not going to get, or they're not entitled to.
Right.
The word entitled, but that, you know, they feel like, oh, I gave this amount of money, so I can say whatever I want. The hardest thing I've ever had to do as a development person was to go to a person who regularly gave us $20,000 a year and say, you have to stop saying what you're saying, because you don't get any more treatment than the person who gives me $20.
Right.
Except for the things spelled out in your, you know, you're going to get some free tickets they're not going to get. Other than that, you can't run that, because I need that $20 as much as I need that $20,000. And nobody else wanted to do it. And I said, we have to. We can't afford to lose all those volunteers who are giving time and whatever little money they can right. give, because they think, well, this guy's just going to buy us, so what do we
right.
care?
Yeah, one $20,000 doesn't equal, you know, $220.
No.
Or does it?
It might, but yeah. It...
200 but, yeah. times 20 would be 4,000.
And then 4,000, yeah, you'd have to yeah. go on.
Yeah, 200, well, you'd have 240.
You have 1,020 ones.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
But still.
And
it's also the picture.
And like I say, it's those are the people making the hands-on.
That's
too.
Right. And when I went back, when I knew this was a credible concern, I said, I'll take care of it. And I did, with the executive director's blessing. You go take care of it. And when I came back and said I did it, they said, you what? So we're not going to get that money anymore? I said, no, didn't say that. I said I was honest with him.
Right.
And said, these are the rules, bud. You know, that's part of development yeah. as well, is to people understand the boundaries.
Well, no doubt you were tactful and you know.
I tried to be.
And yeah. make sure they still understood the value of their commitment.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't for loss. It's just like, but, you know, here's your plaque.
Yeah. Here you go.
That's what we agreed to give you.
We'll give you all that applause. Yay.
Yeah. But applause that's your name
get.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So it's an interesting balance. And it's, I loved it because I love theater so much, it was easy for me to go and talk to people who'd say, well, I'm volunteering my time. I get that. And that's so important and we really need it. But you know that extra lumber you want, your time doesn't pay for that.
Right.
And you know that costume and fabric that you want that we can't afford, yeah, that doesn't pay for it. So if you can give just a little bit, if you can give what you would pay to go out for a drink afterwards,
right,
once a year, we'd love it.
Well, and I don't know about you, but I'm a proponent that if you're on a board of directors, for example, that you should be putting your money where your mouth is,
right.
and you should be donating at least a token amount, even if it's,
right. you,
maybe it is only $20, maybe it's only 100.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's only 1,000, which is more than I'll be honest.
So you're saying you're going to be giving $1,000 next year?
Yeah. Well, that's
what?
I wouldn't be surprised if I have a couple of years. But it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like if you believe in something, you should want to support it.
And you should understand that things are need money to support them. Everybody
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
So that's another part of that is understanding that I don't need you to give me $600, $100. If you can give me $10 or $20,
right.
and I can feature that, you know, the volunteers, this many volunteers gave me $20, gave us $20, then that looks really good to the public. They like that.
Yeah. Now,
and every board member has to give.
Yeah. So when people ask, well, is your board giving? You can say yes.
That's the first rule I tell when I start a development job and I talk to the board. I say I have to be able to tell grantors or other people in the community that 100% of our board supports our operations and our capital campaigns. And again, I don't have to tell them how much.
Right.
They're probably going to ask me what the sum total of that is, and I can give it to them. But they're not going to say, oh, so did David give you $500? No, they're not going to say that. They're going to say, oh, okay, that's good to hear. And it is on grants. People don't believe me, but there are grants where you write them and it says specifically, have 100% of your board members given.
Yeah. Do you consider grant writing part of development, or is that a separate thing?
It's part of development. There are development people who don't do grant writing. So I just talked to someone last night who had two parts of his development team, one that was building individual and sponsor donors and one that was writing grants and something else, maybe marketing. I don't remember now. I happen to love to write grants. So I do that as part of my development. It's a big portion of what I feel is productive for me.
And in general, do you feel the grants make, well, I guess it's not a good question, so we may just edit this out, but so grants, however, is just part of the stool, the three legs or whatever.
Yes, yes.
Because even if you, I think the grants might have potential to come in greater than your individual donations, but I would think that in a perfect world, your individual donors are giving more than grants would as a whole.
Generally speaking, they like to know that you're getting grants. Yeah. Individual donors like to know you're getting grants, which is important, so that you're reaching out beyond the public. The biggest danger in grants is that most grants want to fund new endeavors, new right. projects, new branches of what you're doing, how you're going to add on to your mission. Mm. Thankfully, the Michigan Arts and Culture Council worked out about, oh my gosh, 15 years ago now, that we can't keep doing that. It's not sustainable. That's like the buzzword in fundraising now, is sustainability.
Sure.
Are you going to be able to continue this once the grant's gone? And the reality is that many things, you're going to have to give up something to do that. So if you want to develop a new young company program, you're going to have to give up something else you're doing over here because you can't spread your staff that thin. And if you have to bring on a new staff member, then how are we going to pay for that? Now, that might be a bad example because a lot of youth programs are tuition-based, so they do fund themselves to a certain degree. But there are a lot of that you have to be really careful with that. So that's the first thing when I'm working with an organization and I'm consulting with them about whether we should apply for this grant, I'll say, you know, this is not operating money. This is something new you're going to add on. So that Michigan Arts and Culture Council now has operating funds available, and they spread them very nicely across the state, and they love to support underserved counties. And they make sure that they have the operating funds that they need to stay sustainable. And I think that's great. And that's the biggest thing you need to know about grants is if it's going to be, oh, this will be great, we're going to have this new program. Or if it's capital, okay, great. If it's a capital campaign, you almost always have to have a match.
Right.
So if it's 100% match, can you afford to take 100% away from your operating budget to match the grant, and or can you raise $100,000
right
to match the grant?
So for a smaller group, it's not going to be, hey, don't expect to get $100,000 for a down payment on a new building, because you're going to have to raise another $100,000,
yeah. Right.
And frankly, they're probably not going to pay for your whole building anyway.
Right.
But they might pay for a new stage, for example,
right.
or new chairs,
right.
or a new program, like I said, to reach out into to student or
right.
you know, high school or something.
Just make sure that it's well thought out before you start. I mean, several times now I've written grants for people who are like, oh yeah, we're going to start this new program, and they've got the concept of an idea.
Yeah.
And then by the time I have to make the final report on the grant, because you have to report back.
Yeah.
They have done nothing. Yeah. And that can have a major cost to the organization. Sometimes they'll take the money back, and sometimes they'll be like, okay, but we're not going to give you more money because you didn't do what you said you were going to do in the
right.
first place.
Yeah.
So you have to be really careful of those things, and you have to really report them.
Yeah, I remember once, frankly, with Players, we had applied for what was a mini grant at those times. Mm-hmm. It was just like $600. But frankly, the reporting back out on that $600, me as treasurer at the time said, I'm not sure that was worth the effort. If we're
right.
going to go for something, let's make it bigger, because
right.
you have to spend a lot of time just reporting on every penny.
Yes. So, and that, and that's the other thing, the secret to grant writing, my secret sauce, I'll share it with the listeners. Always ask for, well, generally ask for the full amount or ask for more than you think you're going to spend. Here's the, so this is one of my favorite stories about one of the employees at Old Town Playhouse who had been there for years and was used to, we have to scrap for this, we have to scrap for that. And so when he would come to me, if I'd say, okay, we're going to do a capital grant and I need the cost of the sound equipment and the lights, and he'd come to me every time with the least expensive things. And I'd say, no, I need the most expensive things. Well, we can't afford the most expensive. I know that.
That's why we're getting a grant.
That's why we're getting a grant. But if we write the grant for the highest price things, we probably won't get full money. So it's good that I know what the least amount is. So if I ask for $100,000 and we get $74,000, I know what part of that we can back down and still we're going to get the equipment.
Right.
But you want to ask for the highest price in the grant, so that if it comes in at less than that, you still can do your project. If you come in for the lowest thing and you don't get your whole grant, now you're screwed.
Now you got a gap to fill.
Yeah, because you didn't get it. So it's always really important, and it's always important to remember you probably are not going to get fully funded. It doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah, so you need to, that's where the rest of the development comes in, getting to your individual donors.
Right.
Having your fundraisers.
Right.
And things like that.
Yeah, and if I'm going to write a grant like that, especially for capital campaigns, I will have already talked to individual donors about we're going to write this grant for $100,000 and I'm going to need to match that with $50,000.
So
can I count on you for, I'm hoping that we can count on you for $20,000 of that or whatever.
Yeah, and so in those cases, do you ask them for the money even if the grant doesn't go through?
Generally speaking, they're going to give it to me anyway, but yeah, you can certainly say if we don't get the grant, then I'll be back to talk to you about what we're going to do.
Yeah, wonderful.
So, I mean, I'm not very good at not telling people the truth.
Well, and we had a conversation, and unfortunately we're going to have to wrap our conversation up quickly because, as the listeners know, we were at a place where we're going to see some shows.
Yes. An original
and,
work.
An original work tonight, and so we're excited about that. But the we had a conversation about you chided me for not coming to you to ask about asking money for something that was personal to something that I had was raising funds for, and I think that is that really one of the messages is get over that fear of asking for money.
Yes. Thank you.
Because isn't development essentially everybody's job in the group?
Everybody should be doing it to some degree. And it's really hard. This is what I tell people all the time. Don't ask me to go out and ask for free sandwiches for the meeting. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go out and talk to them. I'm embarrassed. I'm like, pay for your own damn sandwiches. But ask me if I'll go out and ask somebody for $50,000. Sure.
Sure.
I'll do that. Because if I believe in it, I will do that. So yes, you have to ask. The person who coined the phrase, you don't get 100% of the money you don't ask for, is really
right.
You do. I mean, when donations went up the first year, I was at the Playhouse, and they told me I had to make back what they were paying me. That was the first year I had to do that. Well, I made 100% of that and another 120%, something like that, by the end of the year. And they said, well, why? I mean, why was you successful? I said, well, first of all, you have a program that everybody loves and they want to give money to. And, oh, by the way, nobody asked them.
Yep.
I just asked.
Yeah.
And if you can give me 25, can you give me 50? Okay, great. That'd be perfect.
Wonderful. I think that's a good place to close this conversation. So thank you so much for meeting with us,
You're
Betsy.
Welcome.
And our listeners, I know, will appreciate it. And I know that we talked about Michigan in particular because that's where we happen to be from.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, those of you out there in other states, provinces, wherever you're at, I bet your government also has these grants as well.
They may.
And go find the websites and go take a look for it.
And if you need help finding that, contact David and you can call me.
Okay, there we go. Thanks again, Betsy. Okay, we hope you did enjoy that, and we all listened to it as well, so we're kind of excited about it too. Just personal note, Betsy is a wealth of information. I wish we could get her into the room here, but we're just going to have to. If you out there have some way to know how to plug into a soundboard with your computer and Zoom,
drop us a note. We know there's other podcasts out there. But
we're old. We need help.
We want to learn new things.
We want to learn new things. But it's just so much, you know, we got so many people we'd like to contact through Zoom and really bring you a lot of this information. Mm-hmm. But with this in mind, what struck you about our conversation? Any big thoughts? Little thoughts?
Well, my first thing is, why do we have to call it fundraising? If you want to do a gala, or if you want to do a raffle, or you want to do whatever it is to generate some extra income, why call it fundraising? We're not a nonprofit. It's not like we have to let people know that, right? We're not a nonprofit?
No, we're a nonprofit.
We're a nonprofit.
Okay.
Most theaters are 501c3s organized as a charity.
Right. But we don't have to, or do we have to disclose that it's a fundraiser?
I don't know. I doubt it.
I think there is. That's part of the micro print that's at the bottom.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's printed at.
How would you know it's a fundraiser? I'm making a little air quote. Versus just a performance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would think fundraising is really a term we use internally.
Okay.
So I'm with you.
Yeah.
If we say we're having a gala, we don't have to say it's a fundraising gala. We just say we're having – in fact, Monroe County Players used to have what they call the Beaux-Arts Ball.
Yeah.
Where it was a costume ball. It was obviously not a show. It was a fundraiser, but
right.
I don't think it was ever referred to as a fundraiser.
Yeah. So that's my first thing, is that if you can think of different things that you would like to try to generate some extra income, don't call it a fundraiser. If people aren't going to give because it's not, you know, kids getting backpacks for school, don't call it that. Yeah. Just have it a performance or whatever.
Yeah, and I think where it came up with, because we talk about our comedy nights that we've been doing as a fundraiser and kind of saying it is, I think that was more about brand protection.
Mm-hmm.
So people knew that this was something Monroe Community Players was hosting in their space, but it wasn't part of our regular season. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're saying has its value, obviously.
So, but why make that distinction? If we are, as we have said internally, we've said we're in the business of telling stories, right?
Yeah.
So comedy is just telling stories in a funny manner in a kind of slightly different format. So why wouldn't it be part of our regular type stuff?
I hear you. Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was thinking kind of as an offshoot of this was, so we've got the comedy thing, and I personally, unless it's a very established, well-known comic, I don't like going to comedy shows because my cringe factor has a very low threshold. And I am just many times just so embarrassed for the people up there that I can't enjoy it. So that's just my personal foible when it comes to comedy. But as I said, we're in the business of telling stories. Why not a storytelling event?
Sure.
I mean, I would love to do that, is just invite people to come listen to stories and... You know, if need be, then just get up and tell your story. And this can be...
Similar to the moth?
Mm-hmm. Similar to the moth. That was my first thought. But then also, I remember I took a storytelling class once upon a time as part of my degree. And we had to memorize a story and tell it. And it was, you know, fables and fairy tales and, you know, all that kind of thing. But there's an art to telling a story like that.
Mm-hmm.
So even something like that, and the story that I told is one I absolutely adore and would love to share it with people, and there's not really a venue to do that.
Right, right.
So something like that I think would be fun, and we, you know, as far as what you charge and whatever, the cost of putting something like that on is zero.
Right.
Especially if you can get a partnership, because I was thinking, okay, maybe we would partner with a coffee shop nearby to bring in coffee and pastries and have it be kind of a bistro type feel or whatever. So that would be I'm making little air quotes, a fundraiser, but we certainly wouldn't advertise it as a fundraiser.
Right. Yeah, I would say that's a revenue generator in general.
Right.
And that fits right. To me, the way you're describing it would fit into our regular offerings on our stage.
And you know what might be interesting with that is offering a storytelling workshop.
Right.
Because that's how you would get the submissions. That's how you would get people involved.
Sure.
Because I'm sure you would want to review and hear these stories ahead of time. It's not just going to be a walk-up kind of thing, or, it could be done either way, I guess.
Yeah.
And now to Betsy's point, that's the kind of thing that we should look. Is there a grant for that to get mm-hmm. that off the ground?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, plan it out, figure out what the cost would be, if any.
Yeah.
Because I bet you there is a hidden cost we can't think about.
If you're doing a workshop, there's going to be costs, because mm-hmm. you're going to have to supply materials mm-hmm. and you're going to have to hire somebody who knows what they're doing to come in and teach storytelling. Because it's not, if there's one thing that I took away from that class I took, which I had many takeaways, but the main thing is it's not something you just do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's something you have to train for.
Sure.
It's something you have to rehearse. So to get somebody in to teach that, there would be a cost with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it sounds to me like it would also be a grant opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In addition to whatever revenue might be generating based on admission tickets and such.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And that's something, too, that not that our show cost is exorbitant, but if we were doing a storytelling evening, the cost wouldn't have to be as much, because there's no...
Yeah. Well, and again, the cost is probably on the workshop side.
Right.
Exactly.
And then the evening side, that's purely just, here's what we've done.
Right.
Join our workshop and mm-hmm. give us a couple bucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't even have to be hand in hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could do a storytelling night and then at some other point do a storytelling workshop and maybe, put one, market it towards kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
High schoolers,
or whatever.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a good idea.
So those were my two big takeaways. I had a lot of little, as I was listening to it, I had a lot of little ideas. And I mentioned before we started recording, I told Dave that he didn't hear me when I listened to it the first time. I was responding back to them and interjecting my comments. But, since I was in my car listening to it, they didn't respond.
We didn't hear you.
No. But I couldn't write things down either, because I was in driving, my car listening to it.
Yeah.
So, I really enjoyed it, though. Mm-hmm. Very much enjoyed it.
Yeah. I thought a really good point of it that I hadn't thought about was the emotional aspect.
Yeah.
I thought we cannot underestimate or undervalue that point of it. And I think just with what we were doing with building our stage and people knowing, people knew Bill in the community, knew we were doing something in his honor, that had a lot more connection, I think is the word I'm looking for, than, hey, help us build a stage.
Right.
No.
But even so, there's other connections we can have. Say, if you say, hey, remember, and we kind of tried, our problem is I'm talking specifically about our group, but our problem is we don't necessarily have all that follow through to sustain it for a long time. Mm-hmm. But, we should try, hey, you remember when you thrilled to the sight of Mary Poppins flying across the stage? That cost $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to help support more moments like this? Here's your opportunity to give. Or do you remember the wonder of Henrietta Leavitt as she was talking about her heavens?
Mm-hmm.
You want to support, that show costs us X whatever amount. You want to support, you want more moments like this? Give us some money.
Yeah.
Make that connection back. It doesn't mm-hmm. even necessarily have to be to a person. It can be to them directly and their personal experience. Our biggest supporters are probably already in our audience and we just don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that about half our audience, any given show, has been there before.
Yes. Oh, more than half, yeah.
Yeah. So we have regulars, and sometimes they'll give more if you just ask.
Well, and that emotional following through with an email, how did you like the show,
mm-hmm.
That opportunity to connect right there while they're in the audience.
About earlier. Yep.
We need to capitalize on every little moment, and that's why I love stepping off the stage afterwards and talking to people, and
mm-hmm.
especially when we just wrapped up Silent Sky, wrapping that up, the emotion is still raw on there
mm-hmm.
from
right.
experiencing that show, and it was beautiful, and it was a wonderful connection.
Yeah, and that's what Betsy was pointing out too. Everybody's job is development.
Mm-hmm.
If people may want to give to something that you care deeply about too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, that we see in other types of charities, I'm doing a fundraiser for cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
Will you support me in this bike-a-thon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, of course, you go to your family and friends, and most of them will say, yeah, we'll give a little something.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't necessarily going to give you huge amounts, but they'll give a little something to support you, not necessarily the cause. But they know it's a cause you care about.
That's right. Their connection to that cause is through you. I don't know how many times I've supported another a medical or ALS or something because
GoFundMe.
A friend or a person that I know has been touched, and so therefore I'm touched, you know, and it's personal. There's personal.
And but getting back to Betsy's point, though, where she said, you know, when we do fundraising, it's not for, you know, kids with cancer. It's not for something like that. I think we're at a point, at least I am in our society, where it's like, if one more person asks me for money, I swear to God. You know, so don't call it fundraising.
Right.
Is my thing. Is, you know, we're trying to raise money for this. No, I just paid, you know, X amount of dollars for a ticket. I'm not giving you more money. But, you know, you're something like, instead of coming out and saying it, just say, you know, we were able to build the stage, you know, thanks to generous donations by people like you. Yeah. So you're not asking them for money. You're just
supported by listeners like you.
Mm. Yeah, this is what happens when you support us, not give us your money.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fine line between it.
Well, and I happen to have a little speech tonight about that I'll have the audience in front, so I'll try that.
Yeah.
And saying this, and I think I have been saying, you know, this is because of support from people like you to some degree.
Yeah. And I like that, you know, we have a top hat out every night for performances, and we get money in there, but we're not saying, give us money.
Right.
It's very subtle, and I think, like I say, I can't tell you how many things I have gotten just this year at the beginning of March already, how many people have said, oh, I'm raising money for this, I'm raising money for that. You know, my dance group is doing this, and, you know, I mean, even Girl Scout cookies. It's like, oh my God, I'm ready to support you, but I have a hard time paying $6 for 12 cookies.
They have gotten so small.
Yeah.
Now, for that, I just make a donation there. I don't buy the cookies.
Well, I used to do that, but just on a side note, because my granddaughter is a
scout.
She's not a scout. She's not even a brownie. She's a pre-brownie. I don't remember what they call
it. I didn't know
she's underbaked.
She's underbaked. She's batter. Yeah. No, I think she's a rose or something. I don't know. But she's selling the cookies, but they get, not prizes, but they get badges and recognition based on the number of boxes they sell.
Okay.
Because I was going to do that. I was just going to give them money. And my daughter-in-law said, well, that's great, except, you know, she's looking for that box number because then she gets this badge or that badge or a new carry bag or whatever it is they get.
They got that down to them.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you.
We've got to give badges to all our members now.
Yes. You know what?
You earned your theater class one.
Not even a bad idea. Because people love, you know, participation.
A pin for every show they've worked on. Yeah.
Well, either or if you do put something in the hat, or if if you're there, whatever, a sticker, a badge.
I was thinking for our volunteers, they have a ribbon in every show or some, you know, stage manage this one, you get this pin. I've directed this one, I got this pin, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I've got more. You know, I need a sash to wear on my
I need a varsity coat now with
with all your medals.
My bling. It's like Applebee's. You
know, kind of that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. One of the things that stuck out to me was one of her very first comments about fundraising is that the return on investment for fundraising, she feels, is not the bang for the buck that people think it is.
Exactly.
And I feel that same way every time someone says, oh, let's give out a gift basket. And it's like someone had to go together and get that gift basket. They had to ask for donations. And it's like what you needed to be doing is figuring out how to get the bigger donation from them.
Right.
You know, great, we got a gift card from somebody. And that's important, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, to raffle that off probably isn't the best way to go.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, she really just stressed we need to make those personal connections.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I took away.
Yeah.
Is stop worrying about the bake sales and start worrying about, and start thinking about how you're going to make a long-term connection that may not pay off immediately.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, and some of those you're just using to get people over so you can talk to them. So, for example, when we did Musical Comedy Murders, I set up a booth with a silent auction basket that we put together with donations. And the basket was worth almost $150. Mm-hmm. And the highest was people that donated, so it didn't cost us anything. But the person got it for $45.
Yeah.
It was a steal, but it was a way to bring people over to the booth so I could talk to them about the show, put a flyer in their hand, say, I'm in this. This is what it's about. Let me tell you about Community Players. It was to start that connection. So I knew I wasn't going to make a ton of money on it, but I had mm-hmm. to have something to draw people in.
See, but then that got people to the booth to talk about the mm-hmm. group. But mm-hmm. when we just give it out, hey, exactly. you were one of the people who showed up tonight. Here's a door prize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you already showed up. So you're yeah. not the person I'm looking for. I'm looking to bring somebody in
well,
that's not
right.
showing up.
And the
so.
Theory is, and I know this is something that a lot of us in the group believe works, so I'm sorry, folks, that are out there in our group listening, but the belief is that it might bring somebody new in because we're offering this little gift best door prize.
Mm.
And I personally haven't.
I've never bought a ticket
really
for that reason.
I haven't really made a big
reason.
Stink about no. it, mm. but it's like that's not why I go to shows.
No.
Personally.
Now, maybe you might get that vendor or that business feeling more connected.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there's an outreach there.
Well,
but
then it has to be intentional. It's like, okay, well, you've donated this. Have you ever been to a show? Here's a couple tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
let's
now,
build on
now
it.
Now can we build on it and get them mm-hmm. to be more of a regular sponsor than, well, here's a gift card that I give out to every customer anyway,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or you know, a coupon card or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If it's an actual gift card with value, which is some of the stuff we've gotten, that's much better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. But yeah, so fundraising. But I think the other key point too is that fundraising and development are two different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is the definition of development here? Because I did catch a lot of her fundraising, grant writing, this, but I didn't really connect. Her definition on development.
Well, development is making those long is making connections
okay.
to people so they want to give big gifts.
There we go. Okay, that's what she.
But I should say consistent gifts,
mm-hmm.
so that when they get your flyer or whatever in the mail, they say, "Oh yes, I'm going to give another $100 this year because it's one of the things I support,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I support it because they do all these wonderful things,
mm-hmm.
and I see the value of that." That so that's the development part.
Mm-hmm.
A sponsorship is the more that advertising quid pro quo. Okay, I know you got 1,000 people that come see your shows. I'm going to buy an ad for $60. That works for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just selling sponsorships,
mm-hmm.
and fundraising is just saying, hey, we're going out. We're selling cookies for our Girl Scout troop.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of Girl Scouts, that's a huge part of their.
Right.
Their budget.
Right.
You know, so, but now they're trapped in fundraising, but I'm pretty sure Girl Scouting has people who are working on the development side too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
no
know, somebody
doubt.
Who's saying, yep, I'm going to give money, name a camp after me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like she said, not, and it's what's important isn't the amount necessarily, it's consistency and that they gave it all.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like she said, I need the $20 donations as much as the $20,000 donations because. Mm-hmm. The potential is that all those $20 donations outweigh the $20,000, even though my math was fuzzy. You know, you need a lot of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they suddenly disappear,
yeah.
now you've got the $20,000.
They're just as important.
And you're missing the other $20,000 that you still need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're just as important.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, and I think a good thing is do what you say you're going to do. We set out to build a stage. We toted to build a stage. We campaigned for that,
right.
mm-hmm.
and we have a stage. You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I think when people can come back to your theater and see you investing in your space to make the experience better, not only for your actors and for your audience, it's a win-win. You
mm-hmm.
know? So being conscientious that there's two sides to that coin, you need the show, but you need the audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to benefit, not just putting this flashy stuff on for our benefit, but to make it the best experience for our audience.
Which goes back, frankly, all the way back to Zach Collins' comment, that QR code needs to be on the back of every
mm-hmm.
chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so when you click them, they go to the website and it says donate.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do we know, I mean, I loved meeting with Zach. I was very impressed with his system. There's a lot of administration to go with that. You've got to be collecting those names. You've got to be getting that data.
Right. Well,
you've
got to be administration with everything.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's garbage in, garbage out. It's only going to be as good as you invest in it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's a simple thing, you know, to take a QR code and just guide them to either to a program or like the Hale Center does. It actually takes you to the website, and then you have to look and say, oh, I'm going to click on the programs, or, yep, I'm going to click on donation. But you see it all right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our website does the same thing. We just need to get people to visit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you right now, even though we have a show in progress, we've had maybe 13 visits over the past night. That's not enough.
To the website?
To the website.
Not to the website.
You know, we live in a community, a county with 150,000 people.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't incorporated any of Zach's ideas.
I was going to say.
Well, I mean, all the information is great if you don't use it.
Yeah. But that's what I'm getting at is we need to what we're doing is fine, but it's not. We need to do something else.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing a lot of groups out there are in the same boat.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. You know,
for every Hale Center, there's 100 others that are struggling and trying to figure out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a difference too between the Hale Center place who has what did you say 60. Employees, staff, as opposed to Monroe Community Players, who has zero staff, and everybody else has, you know, either full-time jobs or 17 part-time jobs, or, you know, you have to be driving in, and, you know, it's not your primary focus of your life necessarily.
Right. Well,
what? Shocking.
Oh, my gosh.
So with the smaller groups, that is the challenge as well, because we're also always so busy putting on a play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't found that one person who says, I love development.
Yeah. Oh, give me some fundraising to do. Yeah.
Let me go find some grants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't really got that person. We've had people who have been interested in it.
Yeah.
And they've done what they can. But, you know, I think it's a special breed who really gets into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's what we need and every group needs is somebody who's out there basically shaking the bushes all the time. Mm-hmm. So that ultimately is the biggest challenge. How do you get everybody to understand it's everyone's job? Mm-hmm. Because at some point you should be getting enough income that now you can hire somebody. Mm-hmm. But I think the groups that have that one person who's dedicated to promoting the group, they do better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Or like you say, somebody who has a passion for it.
Yeah.
It's finding that person. Because you can hire somebody. A person hired is not as effective as a person that's passionate.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I would say, and you don't even want to hire a person who doesn't have a passion.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's
they need to
work.
Fake it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they need to figure it.
Being Peter Shaw.
Peter Shaw from the
show.
You're
not passionate about this? Well, I mean, it's work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, or at least be able to fake the passion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of, yep. Oh. Yeah. I'm just looking at our time. We're not quite there yet, but yeah, so any other thoughts? Bob, did you have any thoughts?
Nothing right now.
Okay. Yeah, so I think it's a topic that we'd love to hear more from you guys on. Mm-hmm. You know, what things have worked and like say, how are you doing with your development versus your fundraising?
Yeah.
And like say, Carol, I'm with you. We don't have to call everything we do fundraising. We know we're raising funds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They know we're
exactly.
raising funds.
Yeah. Well.
The only time we have an issue is if we're saying, okay, you gave us $100, we're giving you a t-shirt, and there may be some legality, and here's what the t-shirt's valued at, and so your gift really equals this for your tax purposes. Mm-hmm. At this point, we aren't doing that.
Yeah.
Give us $100, that's $100 you can...
You get our hearty thanks and pat on the back. Yeah,
go talk to your accountant.
And a bottle of water.
I think it's easier when you're raising funds for something specific
Absolutely.
Versus when you have to raise funds to stay in operation.
Well, and that was the thing, too. She says she knows theaters save lives. Theaters save lives. She told me a story that I think I can tell because I don't know any of the people involved, hopefully. But she has seen people who have come in totally despondent about their lives. Mm-hmm. On the verge of doing something drastic
Terrible.
And irrevocable. Mm-hmm. And they said, because I got cast in the show and I found this new friends, I got out of that. Mm-hmm. And my life has been turned around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not an exaggeration to say theater can save lives. How many people who felt like they were outcast,
right,
had no place to fit, find theater, and now they have a place to fit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes it may be as drastic as we saved a physical life, but mm-hmm. often we've saved an emotional and intellectual life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a big responsibility when you think about it, is that we are in the business of uplifting people.
Mm-hmm.
Because going to an audition and standing in front of people and possibly getting rejected,
More than likely getting rejected.
Yes, yeah. is the flip side of that.
Yeah.
You know, so wonderful that all worked out. But for every one of those, do we have somebody that we've disheartened unintentionally because we forget that there's an emotional part of this whole business and not just the nuts and bolts of
But like
people.
To your point, have we made them feel welcome in the meantime?
Yes.
Have we let them know these are other places within our theater that you're welcome? Because I think that's the great strength of theater is we tend never to turn somebody away.
If they don't get cast, have you tried to bring them into the fold? I didn't get cast in Bus Stop at the Toledo Rep, but then I got asked to work on props. Mm-hmm. No, and I worked backstage in that way. So you know, we should have on our audition form, you know, what other things are you interested in, so we can capitalize that. And two, the other thing I think we should have on our audition form is an emergency contact. Because what if you have somebody come to your audition that you've never met before and they collapse?
Oh,
well, yeah.
Oh, that should be right there. Well, we should be collecting that information.
But yeah. I mean, it's always a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, possibility. I think we're overthinking that, though. We're planning for disaster. Disaster will happen.
Mm-hmm. But we need a plan.
I'm not sure I agree, Bob.
Yeah.
I think that if you, because that sounds like a karma thing, but I think if you're not ready for an emergency,
I guess that's it.
It becomes an emergency when you're not ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree
to me,
with that.
You know, because disaster happens around us all the time. We just... we're just more cognizant of it at certain times than others.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
That makes sense.
But we should always have some, but, you know, emergency contact, yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly do if they're cast.
We do if they're cast, but.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying, I don't think we do. We should have, if they're in a cast and doing something with us regularly, we should know an emergency contact.
Well, and that's why I'm saying collect it right with the audition form.
Yeah.
Have it right there. Then you've got it.
Yeah, I think it's worth discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because part of me is like, I don't know if anyone's, how many people are willing to give that information for a one-time audition?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because also they're not trusting us yet.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to give you the name of somebody else so that you can just go ask them for money?
Oh, I wasn't thinking about it.
You weren't thinking about that. But, you know, to the point of we're a charity, we ask for money.
Mm-hmm.
The more names we have, if I'd be suspicious of anyone asking for too much information right off the bat if I've never been associated with them. But certainly I agree with you if they're cast. You know, because right now if something happens in the show we're doing, if something happens to one of the actors, I don't know who to call next.
Mm-hmm.
You grab their cell phone, hold it up to their passed out face. And look for one that says Mom.
Mom. Yeah.
And that's
who you call. There's got to be one called Mom.
That could be it. Okay, it does look like we're running out of time for this episode. I hope you all have enjoyed our interviews with Betsy. Like I said, we're kind of trying to do more interviews and more bringing other experts into the room because it's a big green room and we want room for everybody and all the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big tent. It's a big green room. We have a large couch.
What?
Not a casting couch.
It's
a green room couch. I guess we'll have to go switch to different chairs now. I don't know. But I'd like to thank each and every one of you out there for listening, and we appreciate the support that you give us, and we more appreciate the support that you give to your home theaters. We also appreciate I guess I can't talk. After 118 episodes, you'd think I would know how to do this by now.
Don't you have that memorized?
Not quite. We do appreciate the feedback and conversation from you, so be sure to visit our Facebook page for more fun, our Instagram page. We are supported by the Mural Community Players, so search for Monroe Community Players Podcast or Green Room Groupies or the Art and Business of Community Theater. And I believe we are still the only podcast devoted strictly to community theater at large. Mm-hmm. There are other podcasts about community theater, but they tend to be a little more local than we are. Mm-hmm. Emails be sent to mcppodcast@monroecommunityplayers.org. And to keep up with the latest shows and activities of MCP, go to monroecommunityplayers.org. The On Stage blog, which we refer to from time to time, has a podcast now too. But they'll talk about Broadway as well as they'll talk about a lot more theater. They're not quite as focused, even though we have Broadway Brian. Mm-hmm. But remember, we're doing that because we know those shows will come to us at some point.
That's right.
Yeah.
Planning ahead.
We release 2 episodes a month. Please take a moment to subscribe, like, otherwise rate us. Help spread the word that we are here. The Art and Business of Community Theater is presented with the assistance of Monroe Community Players, recorded at the Monroe County Library's Ellis Branch Podcast Studio overlooking the historic River Raisin in Monroe, Michigan. Don't know why I added that, but I think it's a fun fact. I am distributed with the assistance of Impact, the Monroe Public Access, who I think are changing their names, so I'll have to check with Brian on that.
I did see that, yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
It also goes without saying that all opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the individual expressing them and no one else. So once again, for the love of theater, we are the Groupies, and we will see you
in the green room.
That's a wrap.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven.